Folks, it's my pleasure. This is DJ Hurricane to have on the phone one of my true heroes of the jazz world, and a couple of things that have been written about this lady's music are a true original at the top of her game, one of the major voices in the modern jazz community, raw emotional energy, substantial and evocative, and finally, my favorite, the lioness of jazz roars, Ms. Lisa Hilton. Lisa, why don't you say hello and give us a little idea of your background?
Hey, well, good morning. I'm glad to be here. What a nice introduction. Thank you. You're the hero. You're the one that's out there fighting fires and saving everyone all the time. So thank you for that. You know, I grew up in the Central Coast of California, and it was a small town, and took piano lessons starting around 8 and played the flute, played for the chorus, and played for the school programs and all that. But I became disenchanted with following music as a career in college, so I switched and became an art major and graduated and became an art director and worked in that field. But it was unfulfilling over time, so I went back to music, and now 15 years, 15 CDs later, I am still following my dream of following the piano, being a jazz band leader, producer, performer. So it's my 15th CD. I kind of feel like it's an extra special birthday for that. The album just starts at radio this week, and it's only been out a couple of weeks. It's called Getaway, and there you have it.
There, I've got it. One position that you neglected to mention was composer. I look at these CDs, all of which I've got stacked here, by the way, and I see L. Hilton on probably 80% of the tunes. So,
you're right there. You're right. I think that I always was meant to be a composer because even as a little girl, I would disagree with, say, how Chopin would end a piece or how Bartok did something. I think in my mind, I was like, that doesn't sound right. And not that I knew anything.
No, I love it.
Specific ideas of how I felt music should be structured and its function. And I think that that was part of the disenchantment of I never felt like I could find music that I liked. And I went to a performance where David Foster, the pop producer, and he's a pianist as well, he was playing and talking about the tunes that he had written and that had been performed by Celine Dion and people like this. And as he played the piano and talked about his composing, it made me think, ah, this is it. As a pianist, I want to play pop music. This is it. Because I was so inspired listening to him. So I went out and bought these David Foster pop books, but that wasn't it at all. I couldn't find any music in there that I liked. And I just thought, I'm going to write my own songs. I'm tired of this. I can't find any music I like to play. And that ultimately was what had inspired me, was that he was talking about his own work. And that's really, I feel a need to share and communicate the life that you lead and that I lead and that we share together. This is really the real social network, if you ask me.
Common experience.
Yeah.
And the evocative nature of your music is definitely something that leads to an understanding, at least for my ear, of that common experience. So without further ado, let's get to the title track of your new CD, the 15th CD that's come out, and take a listen, then we'll talk about it. Thank you. You know, Lisa, that is just one of those tunes, and you've got a lot of them as far as the Hurricane goes, as you well know, that just nails it. And it nails it in a number of ways, and it does it right off the bat. What impressed me when I put this on Friday morning for the first time was that exchange between you and your drummer, Nasheed Waits.
Nasheed is amazing.
He is. Yeah. He is. He's played on at least five of these CDs I have here. And Larry Grenadier is all on bass, has all also been part of your, I don't know if you have a regular group, but I just look at who's playing on these things, and there's some common people that show up on all of them.
Right. Can I tell you a little bit about in the studio, too, working with them? Larry Grenadier, of course, he's so well-known working with Brad Meldow, but he's also worked with people like Pat Metheny and Chris Potter. And Nasheed Waits, working in the studio with him, it's so amazing. And I can't always hear everything that they're doing at that time because, of course, I have the pressure of performing and listening and making sure everything's going well. So after we get out of the studio, I'm listening to the takes. It's like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
But I think that Nasheed is very melodic. You can hear in his playing that he's really melodically answering what I'm doing. And, of course, Larry, there's almost like a freedom that he is released from just timekeeping when we play together. Mm. So he does all kinds of things. And sometimes, I think it, in one passage, it sounded almost like he was playing a ukulele or sometimes a violin. He's able to elicit so many tones and sounds out of his instrument, which is the bass.
Yeah,
so I was really pleased.
That's characteristic of a lot of the great bassists, that they can get that sound that doesn't sound like a regular old bass.
Which he can do, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't get to where he's at right now without doing the basics, right?
Right.
The other thing that Getaway has that is one of your signature characteristics of your music that really attracts me is you establish incredible momentum in the song. And it doesn't take you long to do that either. Twilight and Blues had a number of songs like that, and Getaway is another one in that vein. Talking about songs like Turbulent Blue, and which is one of my favorites, and Pandemonium. Pandemonium's the other one. You said time signatures or something similar. Talk to me about how you vary your tempo and your time.
Well, that's an interesting question, you. I don't know that I have that much control over everything.
I'd love it.
I think that I sit down and then a while later it's done.
Yeah.
And it's a process. Honestly, I think I'm always asking the composition what it wants, what it needs. And so I think that one of the characteristics, if I step back afterwards, after I'm not working, I do see that there are, you know, time changes in most pieces, and as well as mood changes, as well as harmonic changes. But I think that is one of the characteristics of 21st century music. I think that we do like to mix up, you know, a time signature or probably more than a tempo. So you'll see it'll go from 5/8 to 3/4 kind of thing and then back again. But it's not something that I sit there and go, okay, let's try and do a different time signature here. I think that it just evolves naturally when I compose. I don't know what notes that I'm playing. I don't know. I'm not aware of my key signature, and I have no idea my time signature.
That is absolutely incredible, Lisa, because being a non-musician, Unfortunately, Mrs. O'Toole made me cry in the third grade because I couldn't get the violin right. But being a non-musician, I suspected, and you're the first person I've really had an opportunity to talk to about this. You verified what I thought. It's from the gut. It's not conscious.
Right. And it's also, it's when I do put the music down at some point, it is translating. And so it's kind of very tricky. I am taking something that's written, say, in Sanskrit, and I'm translating it to, I don't know, Old English or something. Yeah. It's quite a translation process to go from your a body movement, a physical body movement, and then translating it down to a written language that is essentially foreign to us because we don't speak it every day. I don't write down notes on a page every day. So it would be like any, if you were trying to physically describe how you jump rope or how you, even how you take a walk, if you had to translate that movement into a foreign language, it would be, that's where you go, okay, what's happening here? Okay, let's start with, okay, what's my key signature?
Yeah.
But I have to ask myself those questions.
Great explanation. Okay, now, Getaway is up on YouTube at youtube.com/LisaHiltonMusic. And I saw the YouTube about a week ago, and it is just an incredible video. I don't watch a lot of music videos, except if it's Keith Richards pacing the stage with the Rolling Stones. But I was really impressed with the video itself, and then to have Getaway behind it was just icing on the cake. We're going to play another really favorite of mine off the new CD, Getaway. It's called Turning Tables. Thank you. Give me the scoop on the song Turning Tables, Lisa.
Well, I think overall on the album, Hugh, I'm always kind of exploring blues and all the different permeations of that. Blues is actually a scale, a kind of scale in music. It's a form, a genre of music. It is, that is from America. It's a mood or a vibe. So I think that Getaway has old school blues, which would be the piece by Father Hines, which is the Stormy Monday
Stormy
blues.
Stormy Monday, yeah.
And it has kind of a nuanced blues like Getaway. It's a blues scale based on a blues scale. And then something like Evening Song, which is more of a mood. But Turning Tables was written by Adele and her writing partner. And, of course, she is able, it's not written in a blues form or structure. It's not written in a blues scale, but the way she sings and approaches is a blues temperament. So that was the idea of kind of running the whole full scale or whatever you want to say, from old school like Stormy Monday Blues, written by Earl Hines, to Turning Tables, which was written just a couple of years ago, and it's sung by her with that kind of a blues style, and then everything in between. So it was just conceptually something that I was exploring. It's a beautiful tune, and I'm not quite sure what it's about if you look at the lyrics, but I think great lyrics, they can mean different things to different people. So I'm not quite sure what she meant by turning tables, but it's obviously some kind of breakup song. But then one of my band members said, they're all breakup songs.
They're all breakup songs.
So we were safe,
songs.
With, yeah. safe with that one.
Really?
But,
Another thing that really strikes me, and I'm a great McCoy Tyner fan, is the way you establish a bass with your left hand, and it's just powerful as heck. It's powerful and deep. And then you go on this, purposeful, serendipitous journey with your right hand.
And yeah.
the two just mesh together, to my ear, just absolutely perfectly. And you're going to tell me that you don't even know you're doing it, so we won't.
No, thank you. Well, I think that there are different points of view. I think as a pianist, as I've evolved, I think that my left hand and my right hand have different jobs to do. And if you're playing heavier and stronger, then it's not going to have quite the delicate touch. So I like keeping time. I like the kind of the old school boogie-oriented bass that does show up in pieces like Getaway or Just for Fun. And so you'll hear that recurring in my work. But I, as a pianist, I like to do it all.
Yeah.
So I do like to have a variety in there.
your saxophonist, not on this CD, but on several others, J.D. Allen.
The great J.D. Allen.
The great, and I couldn't agree with you more. He is a master of bending notes and putting in that slightly atonal. It reminds me of Joe Lovano, who takes it to the hilt. But J.D. is just so tasteful about it that...
Yeah, and J.D.'s playing is grounded in the blues, so I just think that that's always an extra, shall we say, icing on the cake.
Yeah.
I did, of course, I think about three albums with J.D. Allen. He's a tenor player out of Detroit. I always love talking to him. He's a great guy. He calls me sis. But on this album, I realized I hadn't done a trio album, really. And I think that it gave us more room to explore, and it was a lot of fun. There's less, you know, in some ways there's less pressure. When I have a sax player, I have to make sure that, you know, his voice is heard and my voice is heard. But when we have a trio, it's more like, you know, three kids playing in a sandbox. So there was just so much spontaneity going on. I think after basically every time we recorded a track, I think Nasheed and Larry were, one of them were laughing or cracking up. There was such a kind of a spontaneous, fun energy. Challenging, yes. And so maybe sometimes it was a laugh of relief, like, made it through there. But I think that you can hear that energy.
It's been my pleasure.
Well, thank you very much, and keep that hurricane going.
I will. Thank you, Lisa. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.